Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Good morning. Looks like the lighting is really bad in here today. I don't know how to fix that. I'll be right back. Get a cup of coffee. Good morning from Waikiki Beach. Drinking out of my Big Wave Dave coffee mug, my friend Big Wave Dave. And of course, in reverse, it says Aloha. Aloha from Waikiki. This book that I'm holding, The Catechism of the Catholic Church, how easy it is just to take for granted. Yeah, I could lift it with one hand, but the battle for the faith, the taking of the revelation of God and then digging deeper and deeper into fuller understanding, it's just a heavy book, even though I can lift it with one hand. So hey, Brenda, aloha, glad you joined us. So we're reading from paragraph 550. The coming of God's kingdom means the defeat of Satan. If it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Another place it says by the finger of God. So like dealing with demons to God, it's just like, boop, just like that. Jesus has all authority. And at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And at the name of Jesus, demons tremble. So demons believe in Jesus. And so we should too. They believe and tremble, but we believe and rejoice. Jesus' exorcisms free some individuals from domination of demons. They anticipate Jesus' great victory over the ruler of this world. The kingdom of God will be definitively established through Christ's cross. God reigned from the wood. That's part of a beautiful hymn that we sing during Easter. So how is it that Jesus reigned from the cross? How is it that we say the kingdom of God is established at Christ's cross? Well, Satan's main weapon is death, right? When he came into the world, Adam and Eve, by eating of that fruit of that tree, death entered the world. So the weapon he wields is death. So it's like, as a ninja black belt, I love to knife fight, of course, training to knife fight, but when you fight someone that has a knife, the good news is you know where the attack is going to come from. You know, people have a head they can butt you with. They have two hands. They have two legs. You're not sure where the fight's going to come from, but when they have a knife, you pretty much know. And one of the funny things about a knife fight is being able to deal with the attack and then use that person's knife to defeat them. I remember I was giving a talk at a men's conference down in Southern Florida, and I had a friend of mine attack me with a wooden, I guess it was a wooden knife, to demonstrate what I'm talking about right now. And he attacked me, and I said, "You're gonna, you know, just attack me, and this is basically what's gonna happen to you." And I did it to him somewhat in slow motion, and basically what it is an ability for me to grab the knife and use his energy and do a wrist throw, and then has cut his throat with his own knife. And when he attacked me, he didn't expect to have what happened, because a wrist throw can be very powerful. And he kind of went flying across the room. It's kind of funny because he was carrying a gun in his pocket, and his gun came flying out of his pocket. And everyone just thought it was another kind of a practice weapon, but it was actually his real gun. That's what they do in Florida. They carry guns with them But anyway, so that's what Jesus did on the cross. When Satan attacked him with his weapon of death, Jesus said, "Come at me, bro." And Satan attacked him with death. But Jesus killed death on the cross, right? He destroyed death and he took captivity capture. So he used Satan's weapon to destroy him. There's that great song from back in the day by a man named Carmen called The Champion, where you see Jesus entering the ring with God the Father as the referee, and Satan and Jesus are going to fight. And they fight, and Jesus blocks every blow. You know, Satan tried to tempt him, and every way Jesus blocked every blow. But then at one point, Jesus' arms come down, and he allows Satan to attack him. And and Satan knocks him down. And normally, you know, in a ring, the countdown, the referee goes 1, 2, 3, and counts to 10, and then that's considered a knockout. So Jesus, hit the floor, and then the countdown began, but God the Father didn't count 1, 2, 3. Instead, he counted 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then Jesus just rises from the mat. Jesus rises from the grave like a rocket taking off. So Jesus at the cross took Satan's weapon and destroyed him with it. He destroyed death and he captured captivity. He met the biggest bully on the block right in his own, right in the biggest bully's own courtyard, so to speak, and destroyed him with it. So Jesus is our King of Kings, Lord of Lord, Prince of Peace, the Alpha and the Omega, the Great I Am, the Bishop and Shepherd of our souls, the one who is and who is to come. Jesus is the great victor, and he won that for us on the cross. So God reigned from the wood, from the hymn that we sing around Easter time. The keys of the kingdom. This is pretty cool stuff here now. When you talk about the keys of the kingdom. Remember, the keys of the kingdom were something that you see in the Old Testament, where a king would be, you know, he's king, but he would appoint a prime minister and give him the keys and his ring, his royal ring, like you see Joseph had the royal ring of Pharaoh. So the keys to the kingdom are basically the Lord saying, "I'm the king, but I'm giving you, I'm making you ministers," or in Peter's case, prime minister. "I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on heaven, on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." So God delegated his kingly authority to the apostles, and that's why the apostles could celebrate the Eucharist, and that's why in the Catholic Church we see from the very beginning when Judas betrayed Jesus, the apostles appointed someone in his place. And then you see immediately as the apostles went out and established new churches, they would establish those to succeed them when they had to leave. They would establish presbyters. Early on in the church, the leader of the local church who celebrated the Mass was called a presbyter, because they didn't want to confuse that role with the role of the priests in the temple. But as we know, and as Jesus predicted around 70 AD, the temple was totally destroyed about 40 years after Christ's resurrection, and the priestly work of sacrificing animals ceased. And it was at about that time that when people began to call the presbyters priests, because the Mass truly is a sacrifice. It's called the sacrifice of the Mass. And so apostolic succession continued from apostles to these local bishops or priests, and then throughout the world, you know, bishop is someone is appointed through apostolic succession. So if you're a Catholic and you've been baptized, of course you would have to be a Catholic, then that priest that baptized you was baptized by a priest going all the way back to the apostles. If you've been touched by a Catholic, you've been touched by someone who back through time touched Jesus. It's a great, beautiful understanding of apostolic succession. So Mass, for example, can only be practiced by someone who's a Catholic priest because of apostolic succession, because of the keys of the kingdom. It's very important. We rebel at that because we live in a world of humanistic, secularized democracy. Of course, democracy is good as long as it doesn't impinge on religious freedom. But we don't want to be in a kingdom. Well, you can't just give that authority to those people. Well, that's the way Jesus did it. Because if when you go to heaven, guess what? It's a kingdom. And here on earth, it's a kingdom. It's not a democracy. So from the beginning of his public life, Jesus chose certain men. Yes, I'm sorry, it was men. 12 in number, to be with him and to participate in his mission. He gives the 12 a share in his authority and sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal. So again, we're talking about signs and wonders. They remain associated forever with Christ's kingdoms, with Christ's kingdom, for through them he directs the church. So I want to end there for now, but I just want to tell you guys, don't lose heart. When you see the attack on the church, which has never ceased, with heresies and political intrigue within even the Vatican, when you see the secular world attacking and burning churches, don't become discouraged. Jesus is the champion, and the Holy Spirit is our advocate. The Holy Spirit guides, protects each of us individually and each of us as Christians and the church itself. But unity within the church is so important, and that is why we look to the magisterium of the church, the true teaching of the church, not whatever the latest fad is. We don't have to adjust the church to modernity. We don't need to make the church more palatable for the world. We need to just stay true to the teaching of the church. Now, we know there's a massive tree. The church is a massive tree. We have things here out here called banyan trees that grow so big. But the trunk is so thick on these banyan trees, and the roots go so deep. So the tree will grow, and it'll spread out new branches, and the church will help us understand the age that we're living in and teach to that age. But it'll be true to the trunk. It'll be true to the teaching. It'll be true to itself. It's not going to change itself to accommodate where we are. You see so many churches changing their moral and doctrinal teaching to accommodate the world as it is. It will always going to be true to our moral teaching and always be true to our doctrine, but we'll help understand that world teaching in the light of where we are today. But we're never going to teach, for example, that same-sex marriage is God's will. So it's good to be part of the Catholic Church where we know where we're getting solid teaching. Hi, Melinda. Hey, Jane. Good to see you. Don't forget to press the share button. Share it with your friends. That's the way the word gets out. That's how you participate and become an evangelist, too. So beautiful day here in Waikiki. We're going to go get some coffee at Kai Coffee, I think. I hear my wife is kind of stirring. But I want to say the sign of the cross in the Hawaiian language. So, Maka'ino Oko Makua, in the name of the Father. Kekeki, in the name of the Son. Ameka Uhana Hemolele, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Love you guys. Pat, praying for you, you powerful man of God. Nothing formed against you shall prosper. Aloha.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com /redboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.